So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey folks, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. I am Tommy Freedom, and I will be with you for the next one half hour, or 30 minutes if you prefer. My friends, it is now official. Charlotte, North Carolina will be the host of the 2020 Republican National Convention. And it will be held sometime in late July or early August of 2020. Wasn't sure last week when I spoke with you about this. They kept talking about November, which made absolutely no sense. Apparently, the November they were referencing was the elections. But the convention itself will be held here in the beautiful Queen City of Charlotte, North Carolina, sometime in late summer of 2020. So here is a highlight from that official announcement last Friday. Actually, hold up a second, George. Let me just preface this with something. When you hear the initial announcement, you're going to hear a small clap that's barely audible. Nobody else claps, but you'll hear somebody give like 1, 2, 3 clap. And then when they ask for the second, the very first second that you hear sounds like a female voice. I want you to listen for those claps and for that female voice. It's very important with what I'm going to follow up after you listen to the sound clip, folks, because you will not believe who was clapping and seconding this motion.
And the RNC vote to accept Charlotte as our site for the next convention in 2020. So, Madam Chairman, I so move that we vote to accept Charlotte as a host city for 2020 National Convention.
Thank you, Ron. Is there a second? It has been moved and seconded to designate Charlotte, North Carolina as the site of the 2020 Republican National Convention. Is there any discussion? Hearing no further discussion, we shall now proceed to a vote. All those in favor of this motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please signify by saying no. The ayes have it. The motion is adopted, and Charlotte, North Carolina will be the site of the 2020 Republican National Convention. Congratulations, Charlotte.
There you have it, folks. It was unanimous. There was not a single objection to bringing it here to the Queen City. Now, did you hear that the faint clap and then that brief second before the other 2 seconds and then the official much louder second came in? That was none other than our black Democratic mayor of Charlotte, Vi Lyles, or as George likes to refer to her as Lie Viles. But our mayor went to the Republican convention that they had going on to determine this. I don't know what the official terminology for this convention was. It was in Austin, Texas. And she went as a delegate representing Charlotte, North Carolina, as a Democrat and endorsed Charlotte to host the Republican National Convention. This, folks, is a Democrat who actually gets it. Believe it or not, they had to hold a vote here on City Council in Charlotte to allow this. Now, legally, they could not have prevented it because this is not political. Well, even though it's technically it's political, it's still an independent organization. So City Council could not have blocked this even if they voted against it. But we had a few Democratic City Council persons who voted against this. And it was led by Braxton Winston II, who, rumor has it, is actually a member of Antifa, and who was instrumental in organizing the riots here in Charlotte about 2 years ago, where they set a semi-truck on fire on Interstate 85. At one point, this came within about 2.5 miles from my urban residence. That was a great cause for concern for me. To have something like that going on. So the next day, I actually went out, because I was running for office again at that point, and I went out the next day, and I purchased a huge piece of polycarbonate, bullet-resistant plastic, to put over my picture window in case somebody came by and wanted to throw a brick through my window at some point in time. But these riots just will continue as long as these people instigate them, and the really troubling thing here is that the person who led these riots, who is rumored to be part of Antifa, I'm saying rumored to cover my ass here, he's also rumored to have brought in the professional troublemakers to Charlotte for those riots, is now an at-large city council boob and may even run for mayor in the next elections. Very, very scary stuff, folks. So, the way this whole thing went down, Charlotte was awarded, despite the objections of several socialist left-leaning council members and the objections of several, I don't know the percentage, but it was an open discussion before the vote. So, you were free to come in. As long as you registered ahead of time to speak, you could speak. And the amount of people that were calling this an event for Trump and the hatred, it was just amazing. This has nothing to do with Donald Trump, whether you love him or hate him. Who knows where Donald Trump is going to be in 2020? He won't even possibly make the nomination. Who knows? He may not. We don't know. This was all about bringing in business to Charlotte. We're looking at somewhere between 125 and $170 million in revenue. So let's just split that with a nice even number. We're looking at $150 million in revenue coming into the city of Charlotte in 2020 because of the convention being awarded to us. And these simple-minded people could see nothing more than their hatred for Donald Trump and that the Republican Party is nothing but an extension of Donald Trump. That shows just how short-sighted these people are, how dumb they are, how uninformed they are, and how they have absolutely no clue as to how the game is played, as to what's going on, and how the world actually works. They live in their mommies and daddy's basements, their grandparents' basements. They don't own cars. They ride their bicycles to work. They walk to work. They take the train to work because if they owned a car, then that would be detrimental to the environment. Now, keep in mind, folks, back in the 80s, these same people, the yuppies, nowadays they're called millennials. Back then they were called yuppies. What was the favored mode of transportation for a yuppie? The BMW. That's right. It was a car that burned fossil fuel. So these people can't even keep their own agendas straight. They flip-flop, they go back and forth, and it's just absolutely, well, I was going to say hilarious, to see how stupid they are and how they act in public, but it's not hilarious because these people are winning over public seats. They're winning some of these elections. Now, as they continue to go, I think the public is going to see exactly how these people actually think, how they operate, and they're going to start to realize that they have made a huge mistake. And to quote the Talking Heads, and you may say to yourself, my God, what have I done? And I think the next few years, you're really going to start to see that come back. And the pendulum is going to swing back to our side. We'll see. We shall see. But this is certainly good news for Charlotte. I am stoked because my dad turns wooden bowls, handmade wooden bowls on a lathe, and he's got his bowls in a few prestigious galleries around the area. But something like this, if I can get him into one of those galleries that's in the uptown area, where these people are going to be frequenting it while they're, I'm using the term loosely, invading our town, that'll be absolutely awesome because people will be coming in from all over the country to visit Charlotte. And that would be an awesome opportunity for anybody who's in the hospitality industry, the food industry, the retail industry. It's just going to be an amazing opportunity. So I was just completely stoked that Charlotte won. Now, we knew last week that we were going to get it, but we just had to wait for the official notification, and we did get that last Friday. Homer Simpson, your thoughts on this? My sentiments exactly. Keep in mind, folks, we hosted the DNC back in 2012 when Barack Hussein Obama was running for his second term. So only 8 years later, we are now hosting the Republican National Convention. And there's only a handful of cities who have hosted both. I think there's like a total of 11, if I'm not mistaken. And I may be, but I don't believe that I am. But I think it's only 11 cities that have hosted both. And we have done this within an 8 year period, which I think is absolutely awesome. The only thing that I think would be even more awesome is if we could hold both in the same election year. That would be something to really brag about. But Charlotte is, I mean, it's an up and coming city. It has been for the past two decades or so, but just since 2012, when we had the Democratic National Convention here, I mean, we're the largest city in North Carolina, okay? And we are growing like hell, folks. Back in 1984, got this house for, I think, $34,000. Now, it was a little undervalued because it was in not really good condition. This house now is worth $134,000. I mean, we're just in the middle of this growth spurt. People are buying land left and right. They're moving here. And our population has increased by more than 50% since 2012. So we are just in the middle of a huge growth spurt. Our local transportation infrastructure has expanded tremendously, and we've just almost doubled the amount of hotels in Uptown, not to mention the other businesses that have been established and that everything is under construction. So we have a huge opportunity here to bring even more people into the Queen City. Now, I know we were featured in bad light a few years ago with the riots, but Charlotte really came to be noticed as a major player with the DNC in 2012 when they no longer had to say Charlotte, North Carolina. You just say Charlotte, and now people know it's North Carolina. They don't get it confused with Charleston, South Carolina, as I've heard a lot of people up north say. I'm from Charlotte. Oh, Charlotte, South Carolina? No, that's Charleston. So if nothing else comes out of this, at least everyone will now know that Charlotte is in the great state of North Carolina. Now, the only bad thing that I see coming out of this is the demonstrations that are going to be held and the riots that will most likely ensue. Now, we didn't have these back in 2012. We did have a bomb threat, and that, ironically, was from some wacko greenie who was bound and determined to detonate a bomb at the convention. Thank God it didn't go off. But when you go to cities that are hosting Democrat conventions, there are very few rallies. There's very few demonstrations, and those that are held are peaceful. On the other hand, when there are Republican conventions, the demonstrations and rallies on the other side are usually extremely violent. We're not the violent ones. I started to say we're not the Republican ones. The Republicans are not the violent ones. It's the left that's violent. It's the Democrats that are violent. The liberals are violent. It's the radical left, the progressives, that are violent. They're the ones that are channeling Antifa. We don't burn down cities. They do. We don't overturn cars. We don't throw bottles at cops or rocks or anything. It's always the liberals that do that. So if any violence does come to Charlotte because of the Republican National Convention, it's not because it was the Republican convention that was here. It's because the liberals were demonstrating and showing their true colors, which are a vivid canary yellow. Got to get ready to go to a break here. Before I do, I just want to quote something from Braxton Winston, our Medusa-headed councilman. He called Donald Trump a demagogue of hate. Now, if you look at this guy, Braxton Winston I'm talking about, I mean, he's got dreadlocks, and he's just a complete scumbag-looking thug. His English is horrible, his grammar is horrible, which is what you would expect from someone with dreadlocks. And he has no clue. This guy is clearly the hater. We're not haters, but they are. You know, they claim to hate us. Well, let me tell you something. You cannot hate hate. If you do, then that makes you an idiot, because you cannot claim to be a pacifist or to include everyone, but hate people that you call haters. It just doesn't work that way. And on that note, George is really waving his paws around here. Gotta take a break, folks. I'll be back in a couple minutes.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective.
Georgetown Law Professor Lewis Michael Seidman says that the U.S. Constitution is archaic and downright evil. And people like this are teaching in America's law schools? It's frightening. Well, here's your chance to listen to one attorney who stands on principle and fights for the dreams of freedom-loving Americans. Listen to Jason Robb, host of Cross Examine, each week right here on KKK Radio.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Okay, I have a cat on my desk, and it is not producer George. I left the door open after the break, and Misty wandered in here, so she's now driving George crazy because she has a habit of walking all over his notes. Come here, Misty. Say hello to everyone. Yeah, say hello. Yes, that's a good girl. Let me put you back over here. Yes, go bother George. George loves it when you bother him. Actually, George can't stand it, which is why I did that. Now, I found some really good news out of the state of California involving the Ninth Circus Court, as Rush Limbaugh tends to refer to them. California, of course, being an extremely liberal state, and the Ninth Circuit being an extremely liberal judging panel. Now, this regards California's ammo ban. And folks, they actually overturned it. Yes. Last Tuesday, so a week ago from yesterday, or 2 days ago, depending upon which day you're catching the show, whether you listen to it on Wednesday or Thursday. So approximately 1 week ago, they overturned this case. Now, I've got a copy of the paperwork in front of me here. Now, right at the very top, it says not for publication, which is interesting since I'm holding a copy of it here. But it says United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circus. It was filed on July the 17th, 2018 by Molly C. Dwyer, Clerk, U.S. Court of Appeals. And this is Virginia Duncan et al., plaintiffs and appellees versus Xavier Becerra in his official capacity as Attorney General of the State of California, and he is listed as the defendant and appellant. Now, you can find this for yourself if you go to cdn.ca9.uscourts.gov and you look up the case number here. It's 17-56081. It's 17 pages long, so I'm not going to read the whole thing for you. I will, however, if it will load here, I will read the article that explains the whole overview. Here it comes. Okay. Aptly titled, Liberal Ninth Circuit Surprises with Pro-Second Amendment Decision Blocking California Ammo Ban. And now, this isn't just ammo. This is the high-capacity magazine ban that, you know full well what I'm talking about. Nice picture of a guy here holding up a sign. It says Modern Musket with a picture of an AR-15 on it. Facts Matter on another sign with the circle slash through AWB. So here it says, Second Amendment activists were given a surprise boost this week, which now is last week, when the liberal Ninth Circus Court of Appeals backed a lower court's decision to suspend California's ban on the possession of large magazines. Activists, supported by the National Rifle Association, have argued that the state's ban on ownership of magazines holding 10 bullets or more is unconstitutional. Well, yes, it is. It clearly says, shall not be infringed. What part of that do these morons not understand? Shall not be infringed. Limiting the amount of ammo that you can contain is infringing. And they won a preliminary injunction by a San Diego District Court last year, and a three-judge panel on the Ninth Circus backed that injunction last Tuesday. The court found that the district court did not abuse its discretion in granting the injunction or by concluding that magazines fall within the scope of the Second Amendment. The district court did not abuse its discretion by applying the incorrect level of scrutiny. And the judges also found that the district court concluded that a ban on ammunition magazines is not a presumptively lawful regulation and that the prohibition did not have a historical pedigree. Keep in mind, folks, if you read this document, you will also find that they referenced Heller, which is Washington, D.C. So this is enormous because it could theoretically then go back and apply to D.C. and reaffirm what happened there. This is a significant win for law-abiding gun owners in California, said Chris Cox, who is the executive director of the National Rifle Association's Institute for Legislative Action. Jeez, what a mouthful. He said, the unconstitutional law criminalizes mere possession of many standard capacity magazines and would instantly turn many law-abiding gun owners into criminals, so apparently they were not grandfathered. Dissenting from the ruling, Judge John Clifford Wallace said that evidence provided by the state, including studies and surveys showing the use of large-capacity magazines increased the lethality of gun violence, was more than sufficient to satisfy intermediate scrutiny. The National Review's David French, who opposes the ban, noted that the Ninth Circuit's ruling was limited but also linked constitutional protection of firearms to potential militia use, a development he described as encouraging. The NRA noted that a ruling in the lower courts is expected soon and that the case, therefore, will likely be before the Ninth Circuit again. Interesting. Now, in the meantime, we know that President Trump has nominated Judge Brett Kavanaugh, and he has a very strong record of defending gun rights, and he's looking at going up before the Supreme Court. Now, the NRA reflected that in its statement, they expressed hope that if the case is appealed, the Supreme Court will likely have a new justice who respects the right to keep and bear arms as protected by the Second Amendment. Amen and hallelujah. That means that finally this will go to the top and it will be ruled on by the top and end this crap once and for all. Now, the California Department of Justice told the San Diego Union-Tribune that it will continue to vigorously defend the challenged law. Yeah, morons. Now, the Ninth Circuit is based in San Francisco, and as we all know, it's got a reputation for being one of the nation's most liberal courts. And critics have branded the court as the Nutty Ninth or the Ninth Circus, in part because many of its rulings have been overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, this includes the infamous 2002 ruling that the Pledge of Allegiance is unconstitutional because of its use of the phrase, under God. Well, the Pledge of Allegiance is not unconstitutional, it's just plain wrong because it was written by a Marxist. Now, Republicans have been working to fill vacancies with conservatives, but they suffered a setback this week when the White House withdrew the nomination of Ryan Bounds for the Ninth Circus after realizing it did not have the necessary support in the Senate, unfortunately. He faced criticism over some past college writings. Well, hey, so he had some skeletons in his closet. I mean, who doesn't, folks? We all do. I certainly do. I don't think there's anybody who listens to the show that doesn't have something in their background that could be used against them should they find themselves, say, oh, I don't know, running for public office or something along those lines where the press is going to dig into your past. And if it's there, they will find it. I can tell you that from personal experience. But once again, this is great news to hear coming out of the state of California. I really think, folks, that people are really beginning to open their eyes to who the liberals are, predominantly the progressives, and what they actually stand for. And I think they're panicking, and I think they're having to make these rulings, because if they don't, people are just going to get more and more suspicious and finally call them out for who and what they are. So on that note, folks, that's going to wrap up this edition of Freedom Rings. Hope you enjoyed it. See you back again next week. Same time, same channel, as they used to say on Batman and Robin. In the meantime, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by contacting me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. And also, if you have any kind of an event that you want me to promote on here so we can get some bodies out there to take our side on things, please don't hesitate to let me know that as well. So until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.